As you know, this week is my wedding anniversary and a little bit of a break for me and my wife to celebrate that. So I've only got a short time to talk to Mark, but he is here with me now. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. We couldn't let this week pass without saying something about this amazing piece of music that has popped up on the internet. We knew all about this song called Fragile, done by Yes, featuring ARW, because it was released by Trevor Rabin himself as part of an interview he was doing on the radio. And now everybody's managed to get hold of it. And actually, it's strange because it's turned into a sort of official YouTube video because it's been referred to in various different publications, own websites, and has spread across the globe and been played many times. So let's just go through, before we talk about it, let's just go through what we know about it. As I say, it was played on this US radio show by Trevor Rabin, so he obviously thought it was worth playing, and it was in a form where he was happy for people to hear it, and this is music that we've been looking forward to hearing for many months. And we also know that it was in its original form. This song is a Trevor Rabin song, and it was used at the end, a sort of play-out music at the end of a US TV show. Only a brief clip of it, however, not in this form and certainly not with any of the other members of ARW, yes, featuring ARW on it. So that's basically what we know about it so far. And I thought I would go through my thoughts, first of all, my first impressions on listening to it a few times, and then I'll hand over to Mark to say what he thinks of it. So I'm really generally pretty positive about it, I have to say. I think it's got a good, expansive feel. It feels like quite a large production, maybe sort of cinematic aspects to it, as you would expect. No surprise there, as a Trevor Rabin song with all his background in film music. And comparing it to things which, for example, on Heaven and Earth, I think it makes Heaven and Earth sound really restricted and a bit claustrophobic. So I think this Fragile song has more space to breathe. And when the Yes Choir comes in, or this version of the Yes Choir, I think it does sound quite like what you would expect to hear. And certainly it's got an attractive and catchy chorus. There has been some question over whether it is actually Rick Wakeman on the keyboards or whether it's Trevor Rabin himself. I think it does sound like Rick Wakeman. And certainly I thought I could hear some of his hallmarks on there. There's a nice mini Moog or whatever it is type solo in there, as well as some other arpeggiated work, which you would expect from Rick Wakeman, perhaps. The lyrics themselves, I think they're suitably incomprehensible. And I think there have been some additions to that, certainly by John Anderson, and certainly his layered vocal harmonies I like. There's a touch of sort of chant-like stuff that he's done in the past. The bass guitar, maybe it's a bit lacking, but I think there are some nice moments of bass in there, some runs and some interesting structures in it. I think from the point of view of the structure of the song, it's pretty good. I don't think it's absolutely perfect. It certainly isn't seamless. But I think overall, what I think is that it's much more encouraging than when I heard Believe Again from Heaven and Earth, which really seemed pretty flimsy in comparison to this. And, for example, I really like the fast-moving Rabin guitar towards the end. So, a few of my thoughts. What about you, Mark?
Well, very detailed, as usual, by you. I commend you on that fine description. For me, the very first time I heard it, it didn't really hit me much at all, but I'm the kind of person that requires multiple listens of stuff.
Yeah.
Always have, and I think I always will be. That's not to say that this song won't grow on me. I mean, it already has since the first listen. Uh-huh. To me, when I listen to it, the more I listen to it, I get a sense of a bit of talk continuation in this.
Yeah.
There's a bit of that feel in it, I find. The only thing that I find that I'm a little disappointed with musically on it is I found that the drums and bass were not as present as I would like it to be in this stuff. I mean, I find it very pushed back in the mix. And the other thing, and this is probably just, you know, being a little bit nitpicky, but having waited this long for a Anderson Rabin Wakeman song, I was kind of hoping that it would have been a John Anderson sung song rather than Trevor. Yeah. I understand, though, that, you know, obviously Trevor had this song from a long while ago, and they just kind of took it and revamped it into a, you know, Yes featuring song.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think that Trevor did a great job singing it. The production is always, you know, great. He's a stellar producer and mixer. I'll never say anything bad about him in that light. He's always been fantastic. I think his guitar work is really good in it. But again, in comparison to Believe Again, I found that there were more elements of Trademark Yes in that than I found in this.
Yeah.
This I find is kind of like almost like an everyman's kind of song. I think that if you would have turned around and told me that it was, you know, Bob Jones and the, you know, in the telemarketers, I could have believed that it was their song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's enough of a signature elements that we know of from this lineup of Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like, I don't get any sense of 90125 or Big Generator.
No.
I get the talk bit of it, but that's more sonically. I kind of get that feel a little bit of it.
Yes.
But you know, look, this is one song.
Yeah.
And because it's also a song that was already written prior and just had stuff added onto it, I don't think it will have as much of those elements as we will hear in a song that they all had a piece in together, like if they all wrote it together.
Yeah. So, yeah. That does worry me slightly, because I wonder if the same sort of techniques have been used on the perhaps only two or three songs that we might get. But anyway, that's in the future. Let's dig into this a bit more then. Is it finished, do you think? I'm not sure that it quite feels like it's been totally finished as it would be released either electronically or on a CD, on a vinyl. Does it feel like it's, I mean, particularly the end, I was going to mention particularly, it seems to cut off, and it seems to cut off in the same sort of way as you'd expect it to cut off if it really was the end song, the credit song of a TV episode.
Yeah, I'd have to say that I'm very hopeful in that way that this is not a actual final version. I mean, if there's still a possible remix of it and master of it to come, I think I have more hope for it.
Yeah,
in that light, because they can do a lot with it in that element, right? I mean, they can go back in and pump up the drums a bit more, fix the bass tone a little bit, you know, and just overall make it a little bit more, give it a bit more sheen, I guess, and turn it into more of a finished product and less than a kind of demo that everybody worked on.
Yeah, I get a little bit of that impression. Now, of course, we're not listening to a proper high fidelity recording of it. It's on, someone's recorded it from the radio. It's gone through compression and so on, presumably, before we've heard it. But even so, I agree with you. I would like it to be worked on a bit more and polished up a bit. Now, you've already mentioned Trevor Rabin's singing, and there are plenty of examples on those Rabin Yes albums where he shares the singing with Anderson, and sometimes that was to do with the way that the piece was constructed. And again, this time, I think it's very much to do with the way it's been constructed. Now, there has been some question, though. The beginning doesn't sound like Trevor Rabin, and several people online have said, actually, that's someone completely different singing. Did you get that impression?
I never got the impression ever that it was somebody completely different, but I just kind of got the impression that maybe it was just Trevor's voice, you know, over the years has changed in some ways. And maybe this is just a different tone of his voice that he used for the song. I mean, it could be another person. We don't know. But I don't believe that it would be that. I mean, let's put it this way. If I'm releasing a song that people have been waiting for the last God knows how long, would I really put out a song that somebody else is singing that's not even in the band? I don't think that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the multiple occasions in the past where Yes albums have been altered, doctored, different musicians brought in. And I can't think of any example of where a lead singer was actually brought in to take over that role. So it was either Trevor or it was John, or then, you know, John Davidson and so on over the years. So I don't think it's the sort of thing that someone would necessarily do. And maybe that is one of the parts of it which will be changed and will put Trevor on there or John Anderson on there. I didn't feel that there was, I didn't feel it was light on John Anderson. I mean, I certainly felt him, you know, sharing those lead vocal roles and certainly lots of the backing and so on. But the idea of it being repurposed is an interesting one, isn't it? Because if you think back over the history again, an awful lot of 90125, because you've got the 90124 sort of proto-demo versions that Trevor Rabin produced himself, and a great deal of that album was originally constructed by Rabin. Other examples might be parts of Open Your Eyes, which were Sherwood and Chris Squire, parts of songs on Keys to Ascension, which was that XYZ or XYZ, depending on where you come from, material with Jimmy Page, Fly From Here repurposed, and even Steve Howe, right the way back for Verm in Starship Trooper, used parts that he'd created with Bodast on their album Nether Street. So there's an awful lot of precedent for reusing music from elsewhere. So should we really be expecting everything to be brand new for this album?
Well, no, maybe not. But, I mean, usually, and maybe this is just my way of thinking, but usually people repurpose stuff when they're pressed for time. A lot of times I've heard bands saying that, you know, well, we went back into our, you know, old cassette tapes and stuff like that because, you know, we didn't have as much time between tours and this and that. But, you know, they've had a lot of time. They've had a lot of time before tours. They've had time in between stuff. And even before anything got rolling, they had time to work on stuff. So I don't think that that's really the case in this situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the only thing that kind of worries me about this is that usually when a band puts out its first material from a record, you try to put out a strong piece, like something that's going to really represent it. Like, you know, when you put out a first single, they always tell you to try to put out your strongest song. And if this is the strongest song that they have, I'm hoping it's not, you know.
Yeah. But
look, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here on this. I really ain't. But, you know, I'm just hoping that this is one of these situations where, you know, Trevor was talking with, I think it was Steve Jones show.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just talking about stuff and he maybe just decided to start, you know, showing an example of some of the work that he had for it, you know, because the thing that kind of bothers me about it is that it really doesn't sound like a finished piece. Like it doesn't sound like it's fully mastered and stuff like that. So maybe we're making a mountain out of a molehill and we're not really listening to the finished version of the song.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you make about it should represent the biggest hit or the best quality of the album that you're going to be bringing out if you release it. Now, of course, Trevor Rabin didn't, I don't know if he expected. I mean, surely he's not as naive to think that nobody would have recorded it and then spread it around the internet like it has done. But he certainly wasn't expecting it to be used as a sort of forerunner for the album, I'm sure. As you say, it was probably just more of a case of here's some stuff we've been working on. And this song, you know, I have been humming it. It is catchy. I quite like the sort of chorus elements to it. But certainly it would need for me to be seen within the larger context of, well, preferably an album, but I know they've said that it might only be three or four or three songs that actually eventually get released. And I could see it in the context of an album. So yes, I agree with you that it certainly wouldn't be the highlight of an album for me, or if it was the highlight, then I would be slightly concerned about the rest. One other interesting comment I heard, though, was that quite a few people have said that to them it sounds quite like a song that could have been on Heaven and Earth.
Yeah, I can kind of see it because it does kind of have a little bit of a melancholy feel to it, similar to what a lot of Heaven and Earth is like. It's very, very laid back, a lot of it. And, you know, maybe it could have fit in with that. Is this going to be ARW's Heaven and Earth? You know, who's to say? I mean, we only have one song to judge that by so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's put it this way. A lot of people before were saying that Heaven and Earth is a representation of a band that's getting older, who are getting ready maybe for the slippers and rocking chair a little bit. And it kind of maybe appears in the music. So who's to say that that's not happening with those guys as well? I mean, they're not exactly 30 years old, these guys. They're getting up there too, right? So maybe their songwriting approach might be taking that course as well. I mean, only time will tell, because until they release more material, we won't know for certain.
No, indeed. Okay, well, you know, if I had to make a choice whether I was more positive or less positive than a sort of midline on this. I think I would be more positive. What do you think?
Like on this compared to heaven and earth?
No, just on your general feeling of how this is going.
I'm pretty positive on it. I mean, there's nothing on this that made me go ick or, you know, make me want to switch it off.
Yeah.
It's decent. Like I said, the more I listen to it, more pieces of it start to grow on me. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, great. Okay, so that's all the time we've got this week. Please do have your say on this on the show notes for this episode. Let us know what you think of Fragile. Obviously, I'll embed the video of Fragile by Yes featuring ARW into the show notes for this episode. So just go to yesmusicpodcast.com and make your comments there and tell us what you think. Is it finished? Is it the right sort of thing for ARW to be doing? Does it sound like a full band? All those questions that we've discussed today. But I think generally in a positive context. So thank you very much indeed for this week, Mark.
You're welcome, Kevin.